Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
So good morning to you.
Good morning.
So today we will continue or resume these reflections on the tools of good works. We're on tool 64, so we're getting close to the very end, as it were. 73 tools, so we've got 9 more to go. Maybe I can finish those yet this year. Anyway, tool 64 reads, treasure chastity. At least that's the RB 80 translation. Terence Cardong translates it, love chastity, which might be closer. Kasti taktem amare. But before we break down the Latin and then go into more detail, I thought, first of all, let us just look at the word chastity. I think it's often misunderstood, at least in a popular way. Well, first of all, chastity is not celibacy. Chastity is one of the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, according to St. Paul in his chapter 5 of Galatians. Also, we know chastity as a part of the evangelical counsels. You know, we speak of poverty, chastity, obedience, which are the common vows of most religious congregations. They're not ours because we follow the rule of Saint Benedict, but they're contained within our vows. Well, chastity, the church holds up as a virtue, or tells us it is a virtue. It's a virtue of living the fullness of charity, as all the virtues are. They're ultimately lead to, or reflect, or are aspects of charity. And chastity, as the church teaches, is the virtue that integrates, among other elements, the sexual component of our human nature. And that is specifically what's called eros, the Greek, or a Greek aspect of love. Chastity is the ordering of this eros, this desire, this longing, into the service of our human nature, expressed in respect of others. So it's about and related to others. So it is inclusive. It also is part of creativity, of generativity, of selflessness. So as I say, it goes out of itself, and it's very inclusive. So chastity is not just a way, or not just a relationship I have with my own body, but also how I relate to others. And it is a striving for a purity, which we will look at in more detail in a few minutes. And therefore, the necessity that we have to watch over or guard our thoughts, since it is a way of thinking and relating, not just to myself, as I say, but to others. So to act unchastely is to harm, destroy the integrity of the soul, to no longer make progress in virtue, which we spoke of earlier. And to act unchastely is abuse of others, or abuse of myself. Chastity is the summation of an attitude that is just the opposite of possessiveness. Chastity is freedom in every sphere of my life, so that I am free from any possessiveness, whether that be with things or in relationships with others. Again, this possessiveness, when we think about it, is abuse in a particular way. So only when love is chaste is it truly love. Because again, we reflect on possessiveness. A possessive love is dangerous. It imprisons, it constricts, and ultimately it's going to make for a miserable life. And so the church goes on to say that God loves us chastely, meaning God leaves us free. And we're free enough from God that we can set ourselves against God. We kind of hear a little of that at Lawton's reading today. If God was going to take us out here and free us, all this business, why are we in such dire straits? And we want that meat. As we heard the people grumbling against Moses. In his writing Patris Cordae, in section 7, Pope Francis says, "The logic of love is always the logic of freedom." You do not have one without the other, and we can say the real test of my love is how free I am from this possessiveness to control, etc. So let's look at the Latin here. So castitas is chastity, or it translates into English as chastity, and that's pretty upfront. But the adjective castus has a few nuances. It does mean chaste, but it also means selfless. Willingness to make a sacrifice. So suddenly there we see the sense of, that versus possessiveness. It also can mean clean, something that's clean or innocent or pure. Something that also can be holy or pious. And that verb amare, to love in Latin, implies to care very deeply for something. So it incorporates a sense of eros, the Greek the Greek meaning of desire. Well, in our monastic tradition, we know, beginning with John Cassian, Institute 6 and Conferences 12 and 22 treat chastity at great length. And John Cassian makes this reference or statement that until a monk loves purity or loves pure, one is only continent. In other words, he equates chastity with this purity of heart, which is the immediate goal of the monk. Purity of heart. Michael Casey states in his own commentary on these instruments or tools that sexual continence symbolizes the whole ascetical aspect of monastic life, at least for Cassian. So sexual continence represents the whole, all the ascetical aspect of monastic life. That's a very, for John Cassian, that's a strong statement. In it, we can see all the other aspects of our asceses, They are to lead to this sexual continence, this purity of heart, which is the immediate goal, which is this incredible freedom, which of course leads or is really a reflection of the ultimate goal of the monk, which is union with God. Because as we know, ultimately in that particular high state of union with God, we are totally free. We are totally ourselves. Very hopeful and meaningful image for us to strive for. Well, in the Rule of Saint Benedict, beginning with Tool 64 until Tool 73, the last tool, all of these tools are relational tools, meaning they relate to the other, the neighbor. It's interesting that in Tool 64, which introduces this final section of tools, this is the only place that Saint Benedict uses the word castitas, chastity. Now he uses castus, the adjective, in quite a few places. Let's take a look at them. He uses it twice in chapter 64 of the rule, which is to do with the qualities of the abbot. That if the community is going to elect someone unworthy, then there's these interveners that are supposed to prevent that happening. And those that do that must act with pure motives, or castus, motives of purity. And furthermore, in chapter 64, in verse 9, Saint Benedict says, "The abbot must be chaste, among other qualities, striving, in other words, for this purity of heart, a radical detachment." Furthermore, in chapter 72, The Good Zeal of Monks, Saint Benedict has 2 points where he uses castus, the adjective. "To their fellow monks, they show the pure love of brothers." In other words, castus amare, again. And then furthermore, he adds, "Let them devote themselves to loving the brothers chastely." Again, that sense of freedom and not possessing in the relationships. But as regards the verb amare, to love, we have 10 places where Saint Benedict uses the word amare. So it's a little stronger. And there's 10 places in these tools for good works. And that's where he uses them, not elsewhere. It's tool 1, to love God, tool 3, to love fasting, and tool 21 and tool 72, which we'll see, to love Christ. Tool 26, not to turn away from love when someone needs it. Tool 31, to love your enemies. Tool 52, this is in the negative, not to love talkativeness. Tool 54, again in a negative sense, not to love frequent or boisterous laughter. And tool 68 is also negative, not to love contention. And again, that tool is in these last section as regards a relationship with others. And tool 71, to love the young, to love those in formation. Well, in conclusion here, according to Cashin, the two components that are most likely to give the monk the most trouble are fasting and chastity. However, a monk is called to love fasting and to love chastity, as St. Benedict says, and not to fight against these. But isn't it interesting that the very first two principal vices for really, which for John Cashin, but earlier for Evagrius, because Cashin takes these from Evagrius, they are gluttony, related to fasting, and fornication, related to chastity. He begins his eight principal vices with these two. You know, and again, as we know, having read Cashin, most of us, if not all of us, or sooner or later, you will read John Cashin, there are many nuances with gluttony and fornication, with fasting and chastity, you know, and ultimately obsessions with either one or both of them in one form or another, too much or not enough, etc. But again, it's important for us to remember chastity for John Cashin means integrity. It means purity of heart. And the Carolingian Benedictine scholar, Smaragdus, says that in his commentary on the rule, chastity of the body goes with integrity of heart. Remember, our Father Timothy was always of happy memory, now in the cemetery, used to say, you know, at the final judgment, he said, God's going to ask you, have you lived in integrity? Have you lived in integrity or with integrity? Well, chastity, purity of heart. And by practicing continence through sexual restraint, and of course we live in an age of unrestraint, of sexual unrestraint, the foundation is laid for the ultimate quality of the soul by which all division and inconsistency is banished. Again, getting back to our own Cistercian anthropology of that divided heart and the sense of inconsistency, how through this love of chastity brings and integrates every aspect of who we are together. And of course, it's a grace of God. It's something more than just human efforts. And in fact, Michael Casey puts this way, that charity is, or chastity, well, charity, you could say that. Chastity is a long journey. It's a pursuit. It's something you seek. It's not something you attain or preserve. It's probably true to say, to quote directly Michael Casey, that most of those who live in monasteries could be better described as being in the process of becoming chaste rather than being chaste. Because true chastity is ultimately that encounter of union with God, one spirit with God, as William of St. Thierry might put it, And while there may be brief glimpses and moments of experience of that, it's hard to imagine that nonstop in this life, in this time, until eternity, until heaven itself. And finally, St. Ealred, in his Sermon 56, mentions, chastity reintegrates the powers of the soul to make forward motion possible. So again, we have that sense of integration, and until that is there, that movement forward towards the likeness of God will not happen, but we'll find ourselves going backwards. And I guess ultimately we could say about chastity in monastic life, in chapter 62 on the priests of the monastery, St. Benedict makes that very profound and prophetic statement that the monk has to make more and more progress toward God. So, love chastity.